Okay, everybody, say we're up to Daf Samach Gimel, and we're holding the third line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins with a Siman. The Siman is to allow us to remember the next seven Memris, all from Rebbe Lozer. Next seven Memris in the Gemara, every one of them from Rebbe Lozer. Siman, Isha, Vikarka, Ezer, Zois, Shtei Habreichois, Tegri, and Pachsi. Amr Bluza, Kaludim She'ein Lo Isha Einay Adam. A person who's not married is not a full person. Shenem, it says in the Pasuk, Zachor Nekeve Bira'am, Vayikra Eshemam Adam. So the Gemara is trying to tell us that if a person wants to be an Adam Hashalem, he should be married. Without a wife, he's not a full Adam. Doesn't mean Chas Hashem is not an Adam at all. Just means that just like we see at the time of creation, Kodesh Baruch Hu created Adam V'chava together, Zachor Nekeve Bira'am, Vayikra Eshemam, two together collectively, Adam, therefore a person should be married, and the two together will be one individual.
Like, does it indicate whether it has to be all the time, or if he did it once, he's satisfied?
The Gemara doesn't address that. It sounds like from the Gemara one should continuously be married, so one should be an Adam Hasholim at all times. The Amr of Laza, we're up to the second member. Kol Adam She'im Karka in Adam, a person that doesn't own land is not a person. Shenema, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Shemayim, kept them for the Bo Yishloim, Bo Oretz, Asal, and the other, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Oretz, that's the Karka. So if you don't own a piece of land, you're not a Bnei Adam. We're going to get back to this in a moment. B'yam Rablosev, third member, Maidach Siv, Esli Ezer Kenegdai. This is one of the most famous Chazalim. Zocha Ezrasoi, Li Zocha Kenegdai. This is talking about a person marries a wife, if he was Zoicha, that she is a good wife, Ezrasoi, she helps him out in everything that he does. Loizach, unfortunately, a person is not Zoicha Kenegdai, she's constantly at loggerheads with him, they're always disputing things Kenegdai, so it's opposite, as opposed to helping, unfortunately, she could be a hindrance. The Ikariyami, others say a little bit differently, Rav Blazer Rami, Rav Blazer asked the Stira, Ksiv Kenagdai, the Karinan Kenigdai, really Kenegdai, which means the word Kenagdai, Rashi says, means a person who gives pech, who gives malchus. So on the one hand, the pasuk could be understood as Ezer Kenagdai, a helpmate that is constantly hitting him and giving him pech. On the other hand, however, we don't read it Kenagdai, we read it really Kenegdai. Yes, I'm aware of the fact that there's a yud there, but that's just another way of saying that you should go and read it as if there is a segol Kenegdai. So Zacha, if he's Zoich, is Kenegdai. Then she's parallel to him in terms of working along his side for the betterment of their mishpach. Loizacha, Chas Hashem, he's not Zoich, and Agdal says she gives him pech. See, Rashi in the fourth line says, Loshin Nagda Umalkis, Dimalkis. So, Enishgit. Ashker Rabbi Yosef Elio, Omale, Ksiv, E'esaloi Ezer. It says in the Pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam Marisha, and I'm going to make an Ezer a helpmate. B'meh Isha Oizrasi Li'adam. Can you explain to me in which respect does the wife help her husband? Amalei, it's very simple. He said, Adam may be chitim. If a person, for instance, is a farmer, or for that matter, he goes to the field and he purchases wheat. Chitim koises. Does he now just chew the wheat and now he has nourishment? Pishton, what happens if he grew pishton, flax? Or he bought flax? Pishton loivish, does he just put the flax on and he walks out in the street? Why? Of course not. Rather, he has to have a wife to go and take the chitim and crush it into flour and make from the flour bread or cake or matzah or whatever. And the same thing, pishton has to be transformed into linen. No, she provides all of those extra services. Nimtzis, me'ira eina v'mami dasai al raglav. As a result of feeding him food, which is nourishing. So then his eyes shine, he's able to see. Now he's able to walk around. He can't just walk around with pishton.
But is that true also for the negdo, the woman that gives him a patch?
No, that's another pshat. Gemara is saying this is an ikadiyami. The Emra of Laz, the next memra. Ma'idasim says in the posik, Zui sapan etzame atzamai uvasa mibsari. What does this mean? The Gemara on the surface is a very difficult Gemara. It's hard to read it literally. It's saying that Odom Arishon looked at Chava, and after he lived with Chava, or he met Chava, he said, this is the time, this is really this is fitting for me to go and marry her. A man from the human species should go and marry a woman from the human species. This is wonderful. Masha Enkein says the Gemara, what does it mean? Zoisapam. Literally, it means that Adam Arishan lived with every behemah v'chayah, and he said, nah, "This is nish from me." Then his kara daita, and he finally has cooled off. He got comfortable at Shibuat al Chaba. When he lived with Chaba, he said, "Oh, this is my right."
That's what we're talking about.
This is what we need. This is our husband needs a wife. We're not talking about behemah v'chayah. So again, on the surface, this is a difficult Gemara to explain, but to understand, the Otsko brings from the Radak on this pasuk, that the Radak first quotes an earlier pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, where it says that Adam Arishin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all of the behemoths and chayis in front of Adam Arishin, v'yikra lehen shemois, that he gave them all individual names. Now, on the surface, the fact that Adam Arishin called them names, big deal. If Hashem would go and send me a whole list of chayis and behemoths, I would call this one a dog, and this one a cat, and this one an elephant, and this is a horse, and this is a cow. I can also give them names. But the kavana of Adam Arishin giving them names is that when Adam saw each one of these animals and was able to analyze them and come up with their tchunos hanefesh, meaning what are they set to do and what are their malus, what are their chasroinus, then he was able to give them names which he found appropriate to each and every one of them. Similarly over here says the Radak, when he saw all of these animals and these chayis, he thought to himself, is it possible for them to be my helpmate? Looking at each one of them and analyzing them, he quickly realized that this is nish, this is nish, and this is nish. That their tchunais and nefesh, the way they act and the way their characteristics and all that, that this is nish for a man, that's not for a human being. Until he met Chava, and then he spoke to her and analyzed, he said, yah, yah, this is this. So the Lashon Bo Adam HaKol Behem is not to be understood literally, that someone went and actually that Adam went and lived with all these babies of chayis, but rather it's to be understood more that they came to him and he was able to go and analyze them and feel them out until he realized which one was appropriate for whom and what, and that Chava is not, and the only one that's appropriate for mankind is Chava, is a woman. And then it continues on, Uvzarecha. And what's this, V'nivrachu v'cha? I have two things that I want to graft upon you. The word lahavrich, explains Rashi, is like you find in Zeroim, for instance in Masechtas Kelayim, that you're mavrich es hagefen. What means mavrich es hagefen? If you want your vineyards to spread and to grow, what you can do is you can take the vine, put it underneath the ground, and eventually it's going to come out on the other side as a continuation, as a new vine. It's somewhat similar to the Indian of Markov, but here we're now talking an Esrika Markov, where you put together two separate trees by grafting a branch of one on top of the other, but rather what we're talking about is expanding existing growth, such as trees, such as vines, by putting them under the ground, and then they sprout out a little bit further down as a brand new vine or new tree, etc. Anyway, so Kodesh Baruch Hu grafted upon Kalal Yisrael these two grafts. Which ones are these? These are Rus HaMoyaviyah V'Namah HaMoynis, and they turned out to be a tremendous bracha for Kalal Yisrael. How did they be a tremendous bracha? Rus HaMoyaviyah, we know, is of course descended from her, is David HaMelech, that everybody knows, who's Na'amu HaMoynis. So if you look at Rashi, about 10 lines from the top, Rus HaMoyaviyah V'Namu HaMoynis Yotzu Mehem Melachim Unevim. Great kings and prophets came out from Na'amu HaMoynis. Na'amu was Imoy Shul Rechavam, the mother of Rechavam. Rechavam, as we know, was the son of and the Magmokim to Shlomo HaMelech. V'Yotzu Min Mena Chizkiah. Among her descendants, we had Chizkiah, the Asa of Yehoshaphat. Great, great melachim who are tzaddikim gemurim, as well as Yishayo Anavi, the Amamar, Amoit the Amatzia Achim Habo. Amoit was also one of the kings of Klal Yisrael. He had a brother Amatzia, Amoitz was, I'm sorry, Amatzia was the king of Klal Yisrael. Amoitz was his brother. And we begin the Sefer Yishaya by saying, Chazoy Yishayo ben Amoitz. So Amoitz and Amatzia were brothers. So the descendants of Nam Amoinis included Nevi'im and Malach. That's why they were saying that this, these are these great two Brechois, which are two Brachois, which attach to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara continues, "Darshin kol mishpoches adama, filim mishpoches hadoris ba'adama, ein mishpoches ela bishvil Yisrael." Even those families that live ba'adama, ba'adama means that their parnasa is as a result of agriculture. All of that, their bracha is all stems from Klal Yisrael. So do Klal Yisrael that's doing the mitzvahs, that's learning Torah, that brings a bracha of the ganze Welt that there is Baruch Hashem produce. And then there's another pasuk called Goyei Aretz, Afilu Svinois Habois Migalia Liaspamia Einin Misborchis El Bishvil Yisrael. Not only those that live on the land, the Goyei Aretz, or the Mishpochis Huadama, but even those people that live on the seas, Svinois Habois Migalia Aspamia, those people that are coming from the high seas between Galia Aspamia on the boats and on the ships, Einin Misborchis, their brachas all to Bishvil Yisrael. What's the raya? Toisa says because it says koil. Koil goya aretz. That koil comes to tell you not only the aretz and the adama, but even those that are on the liquid and not on the solids on the surface. The emra blazer, another emra. Asidim kol bali umyoshiyamdu al hakarka. The time is going to come, the asad lovai, when Mashiach will come, that all of the professions and all of the professionals that are doing all different types of work and different types of business, eventually all of them are going to become farmers. Shnemer, it says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, V'yordu mi'an yoseyem. They will come down from their anyos. Anyos are boats and ships called toifsei moshoit. A moshoit is similar to the English word mast. Notice mem shin tet is just like a tes, is like a mast that you have on the top of a ship or on top of a boat. So all those that are holding up the mast, Melechayim are, or I should say, Malachim. Malachim over here doesn't mean Malachim with a chaf. Malachim are sailors, called Chivli Hayam, all of those that go and travel in the seas by spinning the oars, or rowing the oars. Al-Oretz Yamoydu, eventually they're all going to come and settle on the land, and they're going to become farmers. What's the import of this Maimra? If I'm not mistaken, it's a Marsha, it says in the back, that the reason, what Reb Loza is telling us is, that when the Mashiach is going to come, then people will be satisfied to live b'tzimtzum. People won't have to live in great luxury. So they'll be happy just to go and live from the land, just go and plant a few crops, have enough to support himself and his family, and Dosh HaShiginok, he doesn't need anything more. The Yom Reb Loza, Ein Lecha Umnis Pchus Menakarka, the lowest of all possible professions and work is those that are farmers. Shnema v'yardu, v'yardu man is saying they're going to come down from the onios, from their ships, and they're going to have a yerida. Now this seems to be at odds with the second Reb Elazar that we had at the top. Reb Elazar number two was the Yom Reb Elazar called Adam she'ein lei karka ein lei adam. So the essential description of a person is that he owns karka. And here we're saying that the lowliest of all types of professions and types of work is being a farmer. Isn't that a stira? So Toisis asks this kash. If you notice, it's the third Toisis from the top. The same Reb Loza said himself, everybody has to have a shtickle property. And now you're telling me this is the lowliest of all professions. Tzorech loymar karka livnois olav shiyodr boy v'gam letzorech mizaynoisav. What we meant up above in the second Reb Elazar was that everybody should have a shtickle piece of property on which he can go and build a house, an apartment, a co-op, somewhere to live. Not chas v'shalom to be a homeless person just drifting from place to place. He should have a karka, he should have a roof over his head. As well as the karka should be a large enough letzorech mizaynoisav. He should be able to go and plant enough to keep himself nourished, for himself, for his wife, for his mishpucha. That's what we meant, if you don't have those, that bare minimum as nishkar adam. However, in terms of a profession, what the person should be doing to make money, says Tosis, if you're telling me that what is his livelihood, that he's a farmer, that's unfortunately being a farmer and having to farm and plow and plant the land, that is considered to be a very low,
difficult,
very good shkoyach, a difficult type of occupation, and therefore rather you could do something else. The Blazer above meant to say that everybody should have a piece of karka to be able to, a place to live and a place to go and have a roof over his family and support them at least on a minimal level.
And to grow a little yard of vegetables.
Guard the vegetables. Rebbe Lozer chazal hi ara, the shodi bekarbo lepusya. Rebbe Lozer was passing by a farm, and he saw the farmer was planting karba. Karba is kruv. Kruv is cabbage. And he was planting a lepusya to the breadth, to the width of the karka. Normally, that's not the way you plant. Normally, you plant to the length of the karka, but he was planting to the width. Omaleser, Rebbe Lozer said to him, itishaduli orkech. Even if you're going to correct your ways, and the next time you plant it, you're going to plant it to its length and not to the width, you should know, hafuchi b'iska tav minach, going and being osek in business is going to be more profitable and better for you than farming the land. And similar, Rav ol lebeni shivli, Rav was walking in the fields where they had shivli. Shivli is from the word shiboleth, which means standing ears of grain. And Chazona took a knife, and he saw that they were kind of swaying back and forth with the wind. And it looked very, very nice and very pleasant. Omlehu, and Rav spoke to those swaying ears of grain. Omlehu, inaifis is nufi. Even if you're able to sway and go back and forth numerous times, and it really looks so beautiful and so graceful, bottom line is, if you really want to make money, go into business rather than farm the land, because farming the land is not the most profitable as well as not the most pleasant type of occupation. So much so that Omer Rava, Meyazuzi Beiska, if you take 100 zuz and you invest it in a business, Kol Yoyim Abisr V'chamra, if you're successful, then every single day you have Baruch Hashem, Basar V'yayim. In other words, you can live a very nice life. Meyazuzi Ba'ara, if you invested 100 zuz in the ground until you finally see some produce, some income, milcha v'chafura, you're constantly eating milcha. Milcha is melach, you're eating salt v'chafura. Rashi says chafura means grain that has not fully matured, which has not ripened. In other words, it's a difficult life until you see the bottom line, your income. Going into business is a more profitable way of leading your life. Not only that, but if you're a farmer, very often you're going to have to go and sleep in the outside next to your farm to make sure that no ganovim steal or no rodents or animals, behemoth v'chayis, they shouldn't come and eat up any of the plants, any of the produce. So it's a difficult life. And very often people are going to come and say, hey, prove that this is your property. This property belonged to my father, to my grandfather. Show that you have title to the property. So it only opens yourself for challenges as to title to the property. It's only potential tzuris. Amra Papa, Zra v'loy tazbin, afal gav d'chi adoni ninu, hari mavorchim. What our Papa is telling us is, if a person has planted in his backyard some wheat, some barley, what have you, and then after that, Baruch Hashem, it's grown, and now he has it, and at the same time, he also has in the neighborhood store, they also sell the exact same grain, and they're selling it for the same price. So this person, unfortunately, has not been successful in income production, because what he has farmed and planted and plowed and seeded and fertilized for the last 6 months, 3 months, whatever, and finally, Baruch Hashem, he has not that produce. He goes to Broadway, and the exact same produce costs exactly the same as all of his tircha that he put in, so he's not making any profit. So now you have a choice. What should you do? Should you go and eat from what you produced on your own property, or rather you should go and buy the same in the store? Zukter Papa, Zera or Zera v'loy tazmin. You should rather eat from your own and not go and buy it in the store. Afal gav d'chi adoni ninu, even though they're the exact same price. Because hani mevarchin, what you have grown in your own backyard is a special bracha in that, as opposed to what other people have produced if you were to buy it in the store. It doesn't say clearly what the bracha is. Presumably there will be a sentimental value because he produced it himself. He'll make sure not to waste. The other Mefarshim say the answer is because it says in other Gemaras, Ein bracha metzuya b'davar hamonoi v'hamodud, anything which is measured, anything which you've added, you've taken the volume, you've weighed it, then you don't have the bracha in it. Here, whatever you've produced, there's no reason for you to go and weigh and for you to count. If you were to buy it in the store, by definition, they're going to go and sell you a bushel or whatever. So therefore, they did have to measure it. They did have to give a volume. Ein bracha metzuya b'davar hamodud v'hamodud.
There's another mamre that I remember exactly. Tov kav shel mishalom me meyakav.
Shisha kav shel chaveri. That's correct.
This is better in his own.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't answer the Hanim of Arachim. You're right. A person feels very proud of his own thing, and he rather goes and wears his garment than nine garments of somebody else, or eating his peach rather than nine peaches of someone else. What you're saying is correct. But here the point is, the Gemara is saying that what you produced has a special bracha in it. What is that bracha? So the bracha is, for instance, it's not monu umodu, you don't have to count it, you don't have to weigh it. Just pull it out of the field and you cook it and you produce it there. Right, zovin veloy tezel. What happens if a person, unfortunately, is on the brink of poverty and he's worried that chas v'shalom he's going to really be poor? So somebody should be willing to go and sell even some of his own personal effects. Veloy tezel said he shouldn't go all the way down and be totally poor. However, hanimil bistarki. Bistarki, explained Rashi, means klei habayis. Klei habayis means household effects. You can go and sell some of your cutlery, your rugs, your pictures, and things like that, which are not absolutely necessary. Avaglima, but don't go and sell your clothing, because lo misramile, when eventually you're going to need it to go outside, for instance, to, you're going to have a meeting to do some business, some schoira, says Rashi, if you're not going to wear clothing that is tsugapas, that fits you appropriately, you will lose your dignity. People will look upon you and say, look how his jacket is, and look how his shirt is, and his pants are too big, they're too small. And therefore, don't go and sell your personal clothing because you might not easily find replacements. Right, tum veloy tishpoit, shvoitz veloy, or tashvit, shvoitz veloy tivni. What does this mean? Tum means what happens if you are inspecting your apartment, your house one day, and you find that there is a hole in the wall. Tum, go and immediately stuff it up. In other words, put a patch on it, put in cement, close it up. Veloy tashbitz. The way Rashi learns to put tashbitz is, don't say, I can't just go and stuff up the hole. I have to make it all nice and even. And he's going to remove two bricks on top and two bricks underneath and to the right and to the left. So I should be able to go make it really nice and, you know, be a perfect match to what you have. Now don't bother doing all of that. V'shvoitz. And if you did do that, meaning there was originally a hole and now you expanded the hole by cutting out on all sides, v'loy tivni, don't decide then, you know what, it's still not going to look nice. Two rows of the stones are going to look different than all the rest of the wall. Let me go and knock down the entire wall and rebuild the whole wall from scratch. Don't do that. Shkolo Oisik Bibinyan, whoever goes and is involved in construction, mismaskin, chas v'shalom, he can become poor. Because as everybody knows, whatever the estimate is for construction, always the costs are much, much more. So therefore, try to go and do a quick fix and not make a big operation out of it, a big production, because it's only going to, chas v'shalom, lead to a person's poverty. That's how Rashi learns pshat. The Meiri, interestingly enough, learns slightly differently, and he learns similar to the English expression, a stitch in time saves nine. Tum, when you see that there's a hole, go and fill it up immediately. V'loy tashbitz, don't allow it to spread and become bigger and bigger, because once it becomes bigger and bigger, after a while, the entire house, the entire wall will need to be replaced. So, as soon as you see the slightest problem, fill it up. If you you see a little tear in your garment, stitch it up immediately. Because a stitch in time saves nine, because if you wait and you procrastinate and you delay, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. Right, kvoitz zovin ar. When there's property which is available and seems to be a good price, don't dilly-dally, jump at the opportunity and buy it. However, Mosun nesiv itza. When you're getting married, don't jump at that opportunity. You have to go and do b'mesinus. B'mesinus means thinking through, analyzing, waiting a little bit. Don't just, oh, she looks nice and she seems to act nicely. Let's propose on the spot. No. Do b'mesinus. It means you have to think it through, wait. Rashi says, six lines from the bottom. Mosun nesiv itza. Hamtein wait. Achetivdik ma'asel. Till you inspect her masim, in other words, her character, the way she acts. Shleitei ruah umekantronis. You don't want to go and marry a lady only to find out that she's a very difficult lady that only causes anger and trouble and tzuris. So, do b'mesinus, wait it out a little bit. However, the next gemara is particularly important. Nechoiz darga nesiv itza. You should be willing to go and go down a madrega when you go and marry a wife. And what does that mean? So if you look at the next Rashi, right before the white lines, the Chizdag of Siditza. Lo'itikach isha chashuva mimcha, shemalitiskabel oleha. When you go look for a wife, don't look for the best and the best, the most aristocratic, the most beautiful, the most greatest nobility, you know, a real high Kanaka family. Ooh, did you hear? He got married to the choice of millionaire. Oh, what a shidduch. Then after he gets married, he finds out, she says to him, you're a tramp, you're a nobody, you should be happy that I even look at you. I, Baruch Hashem, my father is a multimillionaire, and you, what is your father? So therefore, get someone who's on your level, don't try to go and find a lady from a family which is really much higher than yours, because unfortunately, she can become dominating in the family. Shelley, you have some pithy comment you want to share with us?
I think we all made mistakes.
We all made mistakes?
We all married up.
We all married up?
Married up, yeah.
Ah, okay. Baruch Hashem. I can't speak for others. I can say that my wife, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. Anyway, so let's continue on. Sok darga b'char shushbina. Sok darga here, we're saying that if you want to go and find a good friend, who's not just a friend in terms of that you can go and kibitz with, a friend with whom that you can be shoal eitzah, a person that you can go into business with, a person that you can get close to, then sok darga, then you should go up a madrega, says Rashi, b'char lecha odom choshev li dovik achrav. When you want to go and have a good chaver, you don't want just any riffraff. You want to have a psachoshev, a person that you can learn from, that you can share experiences with, that you can do business with. You don't want just anybody. So that's different than the wife. The wife, you should be willing to go down a madrega. When it's talking about getting a good friend, you want to go up a madrega. Right, over blaza, baravina. Anytime you find that there's nebuch punishment on the world, it's because of us, because of Klal Yisrael. That doesn't mean because we sinned. Rashi learns, liyaram kadeshiyachsru b'tshuva. Any type of paronis that's going on in the world is that we, Klal Yisrael, should see what's going on, and we should take it to heart, and we should go and do tshuva as a result. Shneimer, like it says in the pasuk, hechravti goyim neshamu panoisam, hechravti chutzoisam. I went and I gave kores, I cut down the goyim, and I was machrav them. Uksiv, amarti, says the Kiddush Baruch Hu, you know why I did it? Achtiri oisi tikhi musar. You see what I did? Learn musar from that. They say about the Chofetz Chaim that when he would hear stories that there was a chlais or tornado in Idaho, he would ask what happened, how many people were chas v'shalom, were damaged, were lost, were killed, this, that, and the other thing. And people would say, hey, the Chofetz Chaim, you live in Rabin. Why do you care what's going on in Idaho? You don't even know where Idaho is in America. Why are you concerned? So he said, because this Gemara, the Gemara says, Ein Puranus Bolo Oilam Bishol Yisrael. If there's a tornado in Idaho, it means that we're supposed to learn from it. So I want to know what happened to be able to learn from it. I want to be able to be Lekeach Musar today, so that we should be able to be Choyzer B'tshuva. So anytime you hear a disaster throughout the world, it's something to take to heart to go and do tshuva.
Chofetz Chaim was no small potatoes.
Not at all, exactly.
What was no small potatoes?
He said Chofetz Chaim was no small potatoes, especially if it was an idol. Shkoyach, that was great. Oh, beautiful. Says the Moravite, Rav Havamifta Mirab Chias. And the next few lines are quite familiar to people. Anyone hears these stories all the time. Anyway, Rav Havamifta Mirab Chias. Rav was saying goodbye to Rav Chias. Remember, Rav Chias was Rav's double uncle, maternal and paternal uncle, because he was leaving. Amalei, Rav Chiya was giving him advice. Rachmanu litzlacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu should save you min midi dekosh mi moisa, from something which is even worse than death. Frank Gemara, umi'ika midi dekosh mi moisa. What can be worse than death? Death is the end of life. What could be worse than that? Nofik dok v'ashkach, he went and looked in Kehelis and he found, oh, umoitzi ani mar mi mabes esel isha, oyoyoy, a bad wife can chas v'shom be worse than mabes, than misa. Rav kavim tzar li debisu. Rav, unfortunately, apparently Reb Chiya's advice, in fact, did meet fruition, and Rav had a difficult time with his wife. So much so, ki omaloh, she would ask him on a daily basis, what would you like for supper? Ki omaloh, when he would tell her, avidali klufchi, please go and make for me lentils, obdalei chimtzi, she would make for him beans, she would make achulin for him. Chimtzi, if she said, I would prefer having some beans, obdalei klufchi, she would go and make lentils. In other words, she was being difficult. Ki godel chia berei, Rav had a son, Chia, maybe he named it after his uncle, Reb Chia, maybe not. But anyway, when he had Chia, his son, who got older, Chia sensed what was going on every single day. Whatever his father asked for, she did the reverse. So he said, you know what? Apichla. See, he listened to what his father said. He became kind of the middleman. He said, Tati, what would you like today? I'd like to have some klovchi. I'd like some lentils. So then he went to mommy and said, Daddy has asked for
beans.
Beans. Oh, guess what she did? So she made the klovchi. Amalei. So then father said to the son, Yallach imach, wow, your mother has improved over all the years. Until now, whatever I asked for, she made the opposite. And now she produced exactly, she made what I asked for. Pshi. Amalei, so Chia said to his father, Anahuda koa afichnala. I was the one that reversed it, and as a result, that's the reason why she's giving you what would you want? Amalei, so the father said to the son, Rav said to Chia, Haina tekamri inchi, now I understand the expression that people say, the nafik mi noch, taima malafach, the ones that come out of you, in other words, your children, your descendants, sometimes can go and teach you a lesson. Don't think that you are the fountain of wisdom and they only learn from you. Often you can learn from them.
Sure.
Because I could have done, Rashi says, I could have, should have done this all the years. Whenever I wanted the tlufchi, I should have said, I want chimtzi. When I want chimtzi, I should have said tlufchi. Shh, it's megunish angifan. At, however, says Rav to his son, notwithstanding that shows you're bright, that you're a sharp fellow, at li tavarochi, but the mice, you shouldn't do that anymore. Shemit says, Nepasim, lindu lishoinem, devar shoker, heva. Be careful always to stay away anything that sounds like a sheker. So, even though what you did was right in terms of that you got me what I really wanted, but nevertheless, since I said klufchi, don't tell mommy I want chimtzi when I said klufchi, even though. Good. Another famous story of Chiya Havakam Tzarli Debisu. Yes?
Im Zacha, you know, Kenegdo.
Im Zacha, Izrasa, Im Lav, is Kenegdo.
Yeah, so here, but why is Rav the great Tzadik, that he had someone who was with Steyer here?
What's your answer?
There must have been a reason for it. It must have been to...
Maybe the Yisurim on this world will cleanse his neshama, so that in the next world he goes straight to Gan Eden. Anyway, Rav Chiya Havakam Tzar Lei Debisu. Rav Chiya had the same problem. That's why Rav Chiya was telling Rav, be careful who you marry, because Chas V'Shalom, you can get something which is worse than death. So apparently Rav Chiya is talking from his own personal experience. So he had tzaris with his wife. He had a mishkach midi. Nevertheless, when he would go, for instance, to a tikkun in the morning or to a reception at night, and he found something that he thought his wife would like, a nice Danish, a nice Frankenblank, a nice this, a nice that, what did he do? Tzir Levi Sudre, he would go and take a nice napkin and he would go and fold it up nicely, put it in his pocket. A nice nil, and he would go and give it to his wife as a present when he would return. So Amalei Rav, Sir Rav says, but come on, I don't understand. She doesn't deserve presents. She deserves patch the way she treats you, and you're going giving her presents. Amalei, Sir Abchia said, my nephew, you have to understand, Dayenu, we have to be so happy. By the fact that we have wives, number one, they're Megadol Beneinu, they're the ones that bring them up, feed them, nourish them, wash them, diaper them, eventually go and learn with them, take them to school, and teach them, etc. By the fact that we have wives, that Baruch Hashem saves us from possible problems, chas v'sholem, with other women. It's a famous word of Rabbi Yonis and Eifshitz. Rashi, at the very beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, in the Parsha of by the fast toyar. It says in the beginning of the parasha, Rashi says, "Lidibra toyra elo keneged yetzahara." The whole reason why the Torah is matir, a person to go and take Yifas Toyar, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows, the Torah knows that everybody has a Yetzahara. If you're in battle and you haven't seen your wife for a number of days, and you see this young lady who's attractive, etc. So, Leidibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzahara. So, Freik, the Bionis and Abshitz, why does the Torah have, why does Rashi use such a double language? Loi, Nit Loi, Loi Omra Torah Ela Keneged. It could have said, Dibra Toyra Keneged Yetzara. I don't have to say like Dibra Toyra Eled Keneged Yetzara. Dibra Toyra Keneged Yetzara. So it says Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. Rashi later on in the parsha, a few psukim later, we have the discussion about Ben Soyra Umoyra. Says Rashi, what is the connection between one and the other? It comes to tell you that a person who marries Yifas Toyar, the child, Chas Shalom, is going to be a Ben Soyra Umoyra. So Rabbi Yonis, and that's what Rashi is saying. Normally, when you go and marry a lady, then you have usually two brachos. Number one, Megadlus is Beneinu, and number two, Matzilus Son of Menachet. Over here in this case, unfortunately, the Yifas Toyar is not going to be Megadl Beneinu the way we want her to, because the child's going to be a Ben Tzera Moira. But at least one thing you have a wife who'll be Matzil him Menachet, that he's not going to have Hirhurim about other women. Therefore, Loi dibra toira from the normal two malas that a person has when he gets married. Loi dibra toira ella, he only gets one mala connected the yitzara, the matzils benachay, but it doesn't help you the gavna megalas benayim. It's a shame. Yeah.
What now? This Chiyas is the son of Rav.
You have two Reb Chiyas. One Reb Chiyas is the uncle of Rav, and one is the son of Rav.
I see. Okay.
And it could very well be that Rav named his son Chiyas after his uncle Reb Chiyas. Chia could have passed away already, or could be he was still alive, and just like by the Sfardim that they keep on calling either fathers and sons the same name.
Okay.
Anyway, continuing on, Reb Chia was not only an uncle, he was a double uncle, both maternal and paternal, like we had in the beginning of Masechtas Psachim on the top of Daf Dalit, how he was a double uncle of Rav. Anyway, the Gemara continues on. Mikri Le Rav Yehuda Le Rav Yitzchak Barei. Rav Yehuda was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak the following pasuk: I find a woman can be worse than death. A wife can be worse than death. Omalei, so the son said to the father, "Kigoyin man, can you give me an example?" He says, "Kigoyin imcha, like your mother." Oy, oy, oy. Frank Dimara, v'masil le Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak berei. Rav Yehuda on another occasion was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak. A person only finds comfort and an easy life, or it's kishmak, from his wife. So we see having a wife brings simcha, it brings happiness, and you're telling me that she's marmi mavet. The omalei, and once again, the son asked the father, man, can you give me an example? Going imcha, your mother. So the same mother was both called Mar Mivaves, and at the same time we said that she is the one that brings Kodesh Ruach. Does that make sense? Zok Yimara, the answer is Matgif Kifa. She was taka, hard as nails. She was a general at home. She was the commanding officer, and she was tough. However, Avuri Mevra B'mila. What does that mean, Avuri Mevra B'mila? Says Rashi, the top line, Noichal Ratzis Maveris Al Midoisel. If she ever got upset, all you had to go and say is, young lady, honey, I'm sorry, and okay, fine, mukhalach, mukhalach. She was very easygoing, and she was allowed herself to easily be comforted, and so, etc. So, she had, on the one hand, she had tough characteristics, and therefore that made her difficult, but on the other hand, if there was ever a machloikas of some sort, she was easy, able to settle and cool things down very quickly. Rabbi. Rabbi is now giving examples of an Isha Ra, of a difficult wife. Rabbi. I'm sorry, I skipped for much. Go ahead, thank you, Mandy. Hey Chidami Isha Ra, can you give me examples of a bad wife? Rabbi, Mekashtali Taka. First she goes and sets up a beautiful table. Everybody goes into the dining room and say, ooh, it looks like a Shulchan Shamalach. Mekashtali Puma, but before they sit down, she goes and gives him Alamina Brachas on his head. If you look at the top Rashi, Puma, end of the first line. Lekalel ulegadev adzman suda kidei letzare. Before he sits down to be able to eat a piece of bread, she gives it to him over his head, saying, "What have you done for me recently?" And you went, And therefore, by the time he wants to sit down, he already feels like tishmetered by all the verbal abuse that he's gotten from his wife. Rav Amar, Rav says somewhat differently. It's similar. Mekash leitaka. Again, she presents and prepares a beautiful table. Mahadli gaba. When it comes time for eating, she turns her back to him and she says, "You should eat by yourself." And this long table set up for 20 people, it's all yours. I'm going to stay in the kitchen. So the you see the second line of Rashi. Mahadli gaba. Shle lechol imoy imetzarasa. She says, "I'm not going to eat with you. You eat on your own." So again, that's an isha ra. Amar b'chama b'chanina. Even should also other isha avonoisa mispakikin. When a person goes and marries a lady, then his avonois, his sins are stuffed up. It was just like when you had the hole in the wall that we said before. Even as you saw today, they use the term pekak. Pekak really means for a bottle
stopper.
Stopper, otazai. But they also use pekak when it comes to traffic.
Right.
All the traffic is stopped. All the cars are stopped because of pekak. Baderech. So here too, it's saying that if a person marries an isha, then automatically his sins will be stuffed up. Shenemar matza isha matza toiv yofen grotzim mihashem. Oh, as a result of marrying a lady, gevaldik, he'll find toiv and everything will be great. And the Marov and Eretz Yisrael, they would say, he's nosim inish itza, when a person would get married. Amile, they would say to him, achi, matza oy moitze. Right? It's the second day of Sheva Brachas. Somebody stops in the street and he says, no. What type of metziah did you find? Matza imoitze. Matza dechsev, matza isha, matza toiv. V'yofik rotzen me'ashem. Did you find a good lady? A matza toiv. Or moitze dechsev, a moitze nimar mimavis is a isha shalakachta. I once said, you know, this, I'm sure you've heard this Gemara quoted many times, especially at a Sheva Brachas or an Ofrufin. I once heard a Baldarshan explain it very, very nicely. First of all, the whole thing is kind of strange. Person, a young man has just gotten married. So some nosy guy in Yerushalayim comes over to him and says, no, how's it going with your new wife? Is a matzah moitzah? Is she a nice lady or is she a glafta? Is she a bad lady? Yeah? Hey, mister, what are you so nosy for? Who asked you? You know, you weren't even invited to the chasana. Maybe that's why he's asking. Anyway, get out of here. Number one. And number two, is it a play on words? It sounds like, you know, it's just, here's his matzah moitzah. What's pshat over here? So I once heard a Baal Darshan say very nicely. He says, notice, in the pasuk matza isha matza toiv, it doesn't describe who is the one that found the isha, found toiv. It's totally anonymous. Matza isha, the finder of a wife, has found good. It doesn't say who. Yankel, Berel, Shmerel, me, you. Well, by moitze, it says moitze ani marmi mavas. I found. The difference between the two pasukim is, in the case of the moitze ani, the person is selfish. The reason why he's getting married is because he wants a wife to go and supply him all of his needs on all levels. So therefore, I want to have a good life. I want to have a good wife. If that's the attitude, it's going to be terrible, worse than death. On the other hand, if the person puts himself in the background and says, don't talk about me. I only want my wife to be happy. I want a wife that's going to go and build a beautiful home for us and have wonderful children and be mechanach the kinder, and she's going to go and make this house full of toyer and now give me this chasadim and all the rest. So therefore, in such a case, then matzah toyer. If he doesn't talk about himself, he's not selfish, he's selfless. He says, I want to find a wife that everything should be great. And matzah toyer, but that's his attitude. Zitzan givaldik. However, if the attitude is selfish, and that's the message in Yerushalayim, not that they're being nosy. This is a very nice way of giving him a lesson, telling him, mister, what's your approach when you got married now? If you're a matzah guy, it's going to be great. If you're a matzah guy, it's going to be gefährlich. And Shelley has a very witty point to add to all this.
Well, it's not a witty point. It's a real story, real quick story.
Please.
That a rabbi not from our community had a shiva, was talking about his wife. And we wonder why, you know, he was trying to lighten things up, I think. So he said, my wife promised me that I could be the captain of my ship. But little did I know that I was marrying the admiral.
Okay, that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
I heard shot many decades ago from Moshe Rosenwasser, who was learning with me at Yeshiva Sitri. He says, Matzah Isha, Matzah, it was found for you. In other words, you found it, it was found out, you had a shotgun, it was checked out.
Uh-huh.
And so, Matzah Isha, Matzah, you know what, where you're coming? Motza ni Isha, you go to the shuk, and you find this your girl without doing any, just your,
any background investigation.
No, without, never just, your, she's attracted, whatever, but you don't see what's really there. Then you could have trouble, because you don't see the family, you don't see this.
Very good, beautiful, beautiful. If you have a bad wife, the mitzvah to get rid of her, to go and divorce her. When you get rid of this person that's causing all the trouble, the ishara, garesh, or lashon gerushin, then yotzeh modoin, the ishbo is din v'kolein. Modoin means difficulties, modoin, machloikis, when you have chas v'shalom argument, the ishbo is din v'kolein, and all types of disgrace and fights that you have at home will be sure this will finally settle down. Because if you don't have the Ishara, then you won't have all of these problems. So, give her a get. But the problem is the Omarava, Ishara, Kusavasa Maruba. What happens if a person wants to give a get to his wife because she's a very bad lady? But unfortunately, the Ksuba is $1 million and he says, can't afford $1 million. So he's stuck between a something in a hard rock, a rock and a hard place. A rock and a hard place. So what are you doing now? Says the Gemara, Tzarasa Betzina. He should go and import a second wife. He should go and have a second wife. Why is that better to have a second wife? The Amar Inchi people say, Bechaberta v'loy besilza. What does that mean? So Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, second and third line, Tzarasa Betzara, Yisa Acheres Etzla, marry another wife. Third line, Bechaberta, Bekabelas Tuichocha Yoiser, besilza Koitz. Until now, he only had one wife. Therefore, she had a monopoly. She was the admiral, the general there in the mishpacha, and therefore life was not easy. However, once he brings in a second wife, there's already competition. Oh, competition! Then she'll be mekabelas tichocha yoiser. If you go and tell off one wife, she will accept it because she knows if she's not going to be good, you'll go chas v'shalom to the other wife. Flei besilza, as opposed to using thorns. So the way to go and tame the difficult wife is bringing in competition from the outside.
That's why. That's why one wife is called a spouse, but two wives are called spice.
Aha! That was a very spicy comment. V'yomarava, kosha isha ra ki yoim sagrir. A difficult wife is like a difficult day of weather. Yoim sagrir actually says, yoim borod v'ruach, a stormy day. Remember, it says in the Pasuk, delef toidu b'yoim sagrir, the word delef means a leak or a slow drip, which is coming down on a stormy day. That is nishtova, that is equivalent, shova, to an eishes midyanim, to a difficult wife, is only causing tzuris. V'yomarava, b'yur e'kama toiva, isha toiva, v'kama ra, isha ra. Let's see from the psukim how good it is to have a good wife, and how difficult it is to have a difficult wife. So now, the Gemara is telling us you could understand this pasuk literally, or you could understand this pasuk as a mashal. If we're talking about women, is kama toiva isha toiva. Shakosev mishabcha. You see how good it is to have a good woman, a good wife, because the Torah itself extols and praises her and says, matzah isha, matzah toiv. Ah, you found a woman, you found good. If the pasuk is really referring to Torah, remember that the Gemara elsewhere says "Ein toiv ala Torah," because it said in the pasuk "Ki lecha toiv nasate lechem teirasi al tazoi." So if the pasuk is really talking about toiv, about Torah, the kama toiv isha toiv shat Torah nimshalaba. Just the fact that it says matzah isha matzah toiv. If you find a good lady, it's like finding Torah toiv. If the Torah uses a wife as a nimshal to the Torah, is the chasimun, a mashal to the Torah, is a simon that that's a good thing. And now forget, kamaro isha ro, dechsev moitzi marmi mobis is isha. Even gabo mishtoi krav, we're talking literally about a wife. No kamaro isha ro, shekasim megali. You see that the Torah goes, instead of praising her, goes and mocks and denigrates her. Ibigehenim mishtoi krav, the pasuk is really talking about gehenim, and this is just a mashal. No kamaro isha ro, shegehenim nimshal ba. That the Torah couldn't find a better mashal for Gehenim, but rather talking about a difficult wife. Is a chasimin, a difficult wife, is taka difficult. I'm going to give you chas v'shalom barua, that you won't be able to escape. What is that? Like we said before, you have a difficult wife, and you have to go and pay out a ksuba of $1 million. You can't afford it. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. That's shloyuchul lotzis v'meni. You can't get out. On all sides, you're surrounded. It's difficult. Nisanani Hashem bidei loyuchal kum. What's meant is, Omer Rav Chizda, Omer Mar Ukva Barchia, Zu Ishiro, Ksubasa, Meruba. What is this case? The Sanani Hashem, Hashem has placed me, bidei, in the hands of Leuchal Kum, that I cannot get out of. I'm stuck in this and I just can't get out of it. Zu Ishiro, Ksubasa, Meruba. Merova Amru, and it's all they said, Zu Zeshwan Isov, Mizainoisov, Tluyin Bekaspai. They understood this passing, this is a passing in Eichon, the Sanani Hashem, they understood this passing to be talking about money. And what they're saying is that this person doesn't have his own field to be able to go and support himself and his wife with food. He has to go and buy it in the marketplace. What happens if there's a shortage in the marketplace? The Sanani Hashem bidei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into my hands money, cash, but leyuchal kum, if the stores are closed or if there's a shortage on goods, then I'm stuck. So that's Zeshem Nesayisav Teluyim Bekaspay. This is part of the Toichicha, towards the end of Parshas Kisavai. What does it say that your children in Nebuchadnezzar are going to have to, are going to be schlepped away into exile, the Am Acher? However, the Gemara teaches it a little bit differently. This is talking about a case of a difficult stepmother. If Chas V'Shalom, a person's mother passes away, or there's a divorce, and the father remarries to a second mother, often that mother can be very difficult because she doesn't have any compassion on the children of the previous wife. So therefore, that's Nesunum La'am Acher, this other mother, this stepmother that doesn't treat them nicely. Begoy novel ach isayim, Omer Avchanim Barova Omer, Rav Zu Isha Ra Uksubasa Meruba. Same thing, the goy novel ach isayim, I'm going to cause them to be angered. I'm going to anger them with a goy novel. Goy novel is referring to a difficult wife. Rambleza Oimer Elo HaTzadoikim, this is referring to Tzadoikim, in some of the newer Gemaras it says Elo HaMinim, Minim referring therefore to Me'anchi Yeshua Nosri, the early Christians, but what about them? That they are the ones, Begoy Novel Ach Isen, Chaynu Oimer, Omen Novel Beliboy Ein Elikim, that these are people that don't believe in our God, they believe in their own gods, and so therefore they are heretics, Apikarsim, these are the people who are talking about Begoy Novel Ach Isen, they're going to cause trouble for Klal Yisrael. Masisaton and the Bryce we learned Elu Anche Barbaria, the Anche Martinoi, Shemahalchin Arumin Bishuk. These are people from Barbary. Barbary today is a place, I believe, in Morocco or wherever on the side of Africa, and people from Martinoi. They say that these may not be the exact same ones that we have today. But whatever, these people were distinguished in the sense that they would walk around in the street without clothing. She'im lecha meshukitz umetuv of ne'amokim, Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it the most repulsive. Yoyisem imishem halach meshuk or if a person walks around without clothing. Why? Because if a person walks around clothing, he has absolutely no self-dignity. If he has no self-dignity, that means you can't even talk to a person like that because he has no shame, no modesty. Fortunately, you don't have to go to Barbary or to Martinoi nowadays. No, just go around the streets during the summer. Rachmanuson, the way people walk, don't have any shame whatsoever. They go totally. Everybody knows. Okay, right. Rabbi Yochan Omar, Elu Chaborim. Chaborim was the name of a very evil nation that lived in the times of Chazal. They initially lived in Persia, and after that, they spread in our Gemara to Babel, to Babylon. See, Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan, also Chabori leBavel. You should know that unfortunately the Chaborim have now moved into Babel. As soon as Rabbi Yochanan heard that Shoganofal, he collapsed and fainted to the ground. After that, when he came to, Amrulay, they told him, Mekabli Shoichda, but they go and accept bribes. Toretz V'yosef, and then he was able to sit up once again. He figured, okay, they're a difficult nation, but if they take bribes, we can pay him off. What are the first thing that the Chaborim did? Gozer al Gimel ne Gimel. They made three terrible decrees against Klal Yisrael because of three averis. What were the three? Gozer labasar bnei hamatanis, that we shouldn't be able to easily procure or shecht kosher meat. Bnei hamatanis, because people were not giving the zeroya l'chayayim v'akeva to the kahan. So therefore, as punishment, no kosher meat. Gozer mechatzois, they were goyzer to go to close all of the bathhouses. Bnei atvila, because people were not makbid to go and toivel. They were digging up the bones of dead people in the graveyards, which of course is a grave sin. Shelley, why because the Jews would go and join the Goyim on their holidays, on their festivals, and they would sit together festively together with them. Shemar, it says in the pasuk.
No bones about it.
No bones about it. Exactly. Hashem is going to punish even the Ovois. I mean, the Ovois already buried. What's the punishment that they can possibly receive? That their bones are going to be dug up. That's the punishment. Like we learned, because of the sins of the Lamedika, even those that are dead, Nebuch, they are suffering that they are being, that their bodies are being brought up. Now, the first two are easy to understand, that there was a gzeira on Basa because they didn't give the proper matonois of the Basa to the Kahan. They were goyzim mechatzois because they didn't toivim. But what does the mitchatat yishich we have to do with smechem b'yom edim? So one of the Meforshim says that the reason is because elsewhere it says in Chazal that a person who goes and drinks together with a goy at some sort of feast, that is considered to be binena mizivchei mesim. It says even if a person sits at a suda that he doesn't say Torah, it's like binena mizivchei mesim. Ah, so therefore, sitting together with them and drinking is zivchei mesim. So the punishment for that is nebuch to uproot the mesim that are already nebuch buried in the ground. So Gemara Baite Omli Rovel Rabba Bamori. Siv says in the Apostle Yosvul Leikavru the Doimin Alpini Adoma Yil. They will not be collected. They won't be assembled. They won't be buried. But rather, they're going to be like the dung on the face of the earth. Uksiv Nifchar Moves Michay. That death is better than life. How can that be? Death is better than life. Life, you can always accomplish things. Death, that's the end. For the Rishoyim, it's better that they should be dead than alive, because as long as they're alive, they can do more sins. Once they're dead, at least they stop sinning. Now, from here, for the next 5 or 10 lines, the Gemara is going to quote some very wise sayings from the Sefer Ben Tzira. The Sefer Ben Tzira is described at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin as from the Svarim HaChitzoinim. In fancy English, it's called the Apocrypha, or something similar to that. And the Gemara at the end of Sanhedrin says that you're not allowed to read in the Svarim HaChitzoinim. Now the question is, if that's the case, how is the Gemara quoting from Sefer Ben Tzira? So you can't make a kvius in learning the Sefer Ben Tzira. By the way, you can get the Ben Tzira today. Whether or not it's the same text as that is quoted by Chazal, that's a separate story. But there is, today you can go and buy in good bookstores or probably online, the Sefer Ben Tzira. The Gemara quotes Ben Tzira from time to time, and whenever it quotes it, always quotes it for the wise sayings that the Gemara feel can be discussed and learned in the Besmedesh. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about over the next few lines are similar to what we've been talking about the whole blat. Isha toiva matana toiva. A person who has a good wife, that's a gewaldige matana. The Bach takes out a few words over here and combines it and makes it Isha toiva matana toiva b'chek yirei alikim tinase. If you have an Isha toiva, Kadosh Baruch Hu especially gives it as a matana to a yirei alikim. A person who's an erlecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a matana, an Isha toiva. Isha ra tzaras labala. Person has a bad wife, chas v'shalom, it's like having tzaras at home. Maita kante, what should you do? Yigrashani, you should give a divorce, you stop him, tzarata, and he'll be potter from this tzaras. Isha yofa ashri bala. If a person has an attractive wife, then the husband is a very lucky man. Mispar yom of kiflayim. Then he has hanoah at all times. It's as if he lives a double life. In the sense that every day is Baruch Hashem, a day that he's happy. He looks at his wife, she's pretty, she's attractive, and therefore he really feels good. So it's as if he's living life doubly. Haliminech, but on the other hand, be very, very careful if it's not your wife. Haliminech, if you have an ishish, a married lady, who is very charming, be very careful, stay away from her mitzuda, from her net, you might be caught in her net. So much so, if she has a husband who's your friend, and that friend invites you over to his house, let's go and drink a little bit together, you should abstain. Don't go to her house. Why keep it toyer? Isha yofa rabim hushchasim. Because even though his intent in going to the house is to have a friendly drink together with her husband, but unfortunately she's standing there inside the house. And unfortunately, b'toyer isha yofa, the image of a pretty lady, many Ram Hushkasa, many Nebuch have fallen through and have become Bali Avera. So, best thing is, stay away. Vatsum kol arugia, and there are many that unfortunately are those that are killed by her appearance and by the sins that unfortunately, if she's a provocative, a seductive type of a lady. Ramam hoyu pitzi roichel, hamargilin dvar erva. What is all this about? Ram hoyu pitzi roichel. Roichel, as we've had already in the Gemara before, is a peddler that normally the wares that he would peddle would be all types of psamen, cosmetics and perfumes that he would go and sell to the ladies. Now, perfumes and cosmetics are the types of things that you cannot go and sell to a man, because no matter how the man thinks that these are wonderful perfumes and cosmetics, his wife may disagree. So the best thing is to go and sell it to the ultimate customer. So the peddler goes from town to town and from house to house, peddling his wares. Sometimes he will be there inside the house, and he's selling, and all of a sudden the husband comes home, and he sees this stranger over here together with his wife, and he suspects her of all types of wonderful things. And as a result, he beats up the Reuchel and he says, peddler, what are you doing here? You should never come into my house again. And he gives him, punches him from all sides. So Ram Hoyu Pitzi Reuchel. So many peddlers, unfortunately, have had to endure many such pitzoim, many such damages, many such harmful exchanges. Hamargil Dvar Erva. Things that Chas V'Shalom can bring on Dvar Erva is kinitzoitz. It's like a spark, maver gecheles, that brings on a fiery gecheles, a fiery coal. In other words, all you need is a little spark in Chas V'Shalom that could cause a big, big fire. So stay away from a woman that appears to be very charming and attractive. Chas V'Shalom, that could be problematic. It's kikluv moli oif. It's like a chicken coop full of birds that Chas V'Shalom are there, ready, willing, and able to go and cause sins. Kin batei maleim mirma. Those houses of those types of people, Chas V'Shalom, are full of deceit. That from the outside everything looks great. You go inside, oy Chas V'Shalom, there could be many sins. Until now we were talking more or less about the inyanim of Isha Toy v'Isha Ra'a. Now we go over a little bit to another statement or another wise advice from the Sefer Mitzira. Al Tzotzar Tzoras Machar. Don't bog yourself down today with the potential Tzoras of tomorrow. Why kilo them? You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Shemamacher ba veinenu. Maybe by the time tomorrow comes, you're not going to even be around anymore. Nimtza mitzar al oilam sheinu shaloi. He's just being mitzar in something that hasn't even occurred. You never know. You're worried about what's going to happen X, Y, Z tomorrow. From now until tomorrow, things can change so radically that there's no reason to get yourself mitzar today about things that may never occur.
That's what says
zayin tzar b'shaitz. Oh, same thing. Zayin tzar b'shaitz is like a short way of saying the same concept. Don't allow your home to become a center of people like a public thoroughfare. Rather, keep the number of visitors and guests down. Don't bring everybody into your house. Not every homeless individual should you bring home, because it can only cause you problems. You should have many friends, yeah. However, a close confidant, you should only have one out of 1,000. Yeah, everybody should be friendly with, Shahavis Yisrael, all the rest, but don't go and share your secrets with the whole world, only with one out of 1,000. Okay, so we finish now the inyan of the Sefer Metzira, and we come back to our Gemara. So the first thing Gemara quotes,
for Shabbos Tish, you should be limited in who you...
I'm sorry, once again?
For Shabbos Tish.
Yes, yes.
You should open your house up to...
But not everybody. You should go and the normal, regular people. Sometimes you get a person at the table who can be a very terrible person, the way he or she speaks. In your home, I'm sure you never have any nivulpeh, and you invite the wrong guest, and all of a sudden they say words that your children are astounded, never heard words like that. Or they can be dressed inappropriately, they can speak inappropriately, and you have to be selective who you take in. You can't just take in anybody. We had this come already a couple of days ago. I'm sorry? What is more in brachas? Not only is the Gemara brachos, we had it 2 days ago in Daf Samach Beis. Now we have it now in Daf Samach Gimel. Yesterday we had it. So what is the pshat in this Gemara? The Gemara there was talking about yesterday about the mincha of Piri Verivia, and we said Reb Nosson said according to Beis Hillel, even if you only produce a zohar or an akeva, you've also done it, and or if number of children pass away, you don't have to replace them according to Rav Huna. Why? Because as long as you extracted the Shemesh HaBaguf, you did your job. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to have a Shevis, it certainly has to be Shevis. Anyway, so Ein Ben Dev Abba, Mashiach will come, at Shiach will come to Shemesh HaKuf, all the Shemesh inside Guf. Vusayz Guf, Rashi says that there is an Oitzer up in Shemayim, and there's a Paragoid, Shechoitzit Ben Shechina LeMalachim. There's some sort of curtain that separates between the Shechina and the Malachim, and there you have Ruchais and the Shamois and the Sunois, Shinivru Mishesh and Mebreishis, who are Sidois Lihinosing Begufim, who are Sidoli Baruch. So Kodesh Baruch Hu initially, when he did Brias Oilam, he created the Chavais 3 billion, 5 trillion, whatever, number of Neshamas. When all of those Neshamas are finally extricated, extracted from that Guf, and there's nothing left, oh, then Mashiach is going to come. Shneimar says the pasuk Yiruach Lefanei Yatev. When neshama is ani asisi, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I create all the neshamas, and we're waiting for them to be born." Tanya blaza oim mekol mishein oisik b'parav berivya kilu shayfach dam. A person who is not ois per berivya, that doesn't get married, it doesn't have children, it's as if chas shom shayfach dam. Shneimar shayfach dam adam, but adam dam yishafech. That's talking about shvichas dam. Ksebasrei the next pasuk says, "Atem pruv milo aretz vechimshua." So you see, per berivya, if you don't ois per berivya, chas shom, it's as if you are shayfach dam. Rabbi Yankav Omer, ki'ilu memayit hadmus. It's as if he's diminishing the divine image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shnemek Yitzel Mekim, also Esa Adam. People are created in the divine image of Hashem, so you're supposed to create more such images by being oisik b'peri v'rivya. If you're not, you're diminishing that image. Like we had before. Ben Azi Omer, ki'ilu shayfach dam umemayit hadmus. It's both. It's as if he's shayfach dam and mayit hadmus, he diminishes the image of Hashem. Shnemek. So Amalei Ben Azai said that Ben Azai, the big talker. Some people have a beautiful baldarshan, and then they fulfill it. No mekayim, people that fulfill, they ain't no adoyrish. However, they're not such a gross darshan. The other no adoyrish, the drushes that you gave are beautiful. They ain't no mekayim because you're not married. You're the one that says if you're not oisim peribirivya, shayfach dam and mayit hadmus. Why aren't you married? By the way, as an aside, if you look at the second Tosis at the top, the Tosis brings Afal Gav de Mashma Perik Afal Pi in Ksubis Shenosa Bita Shabbi Kiva. Ben Azai was married at least for a short period of time to the daughter of Rabbi Kiva. The Ka'oma Hasan Brate Shabbi Kiva of Delay Le Ben Azai Hachi, that she made something, she prepared something for her husband. So we see that Ben Azai was married. Ha'oma Perikam de Soita to Nosa Vigirish. Apparently it was not a long lived marriage, it was a short lived marriage. And so therefore they're saying, big talker you, Peri Verivya, Shayfach Damim, why don't you get married? Amrim Ben Azai, Umo Ese, what can I do? Shenafshi, Choshka Batoira, Efshalo Oilam, Shiskayim, Al Yedei Achirim. Ben Azai said, what can I do? Mashnafshi, Choshka Batoira, and the world will have to be settled through others. We'll get back to this in a moment. The Gemara now quotes the same discussion again. The only difference between the Tani Idach is that before we said Rabbi Yaakov Oimer Ki'ilu Memayit Admus, and here we're going to say Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah, or somebody else, as you'll see in a moment. Tani Idach Blez Oimer starts off the brights in the same way as we had before. The Komi Shein Oisim Beperi Beribik Ki'ilu Shoifer Adam Shneim Shem Adam 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 Yishafech V'Samach Lei V'Atem Peruv. And then the previous price we said Rabbi Yaakov Oimer, and here we said Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah Oimer Ki'ilu Memayit Admus Shneimar, like we had in the passing that it says at the Bruvu. Ben Azai combined the two. Oimer, it's Ki'ilu Shayfach Dam and Mayit Hadmus. Amar Le Ben Azai, Yish No Doyish Vein No Mekayim, and you're not No Mekayim V'chuli. So I saw the Oscar quotes a sefer called Derech Pikudecha, where that Derech Pikudecha explains that what Ben Azai was saying is to be able to have children, you have to be stimulated by the sight of your wife, which provokes you and stimulates the body, etc., etc. And then the person, as a result of those desires, he's able to go and be Mazriya Zera and have children. Said Ben Azai Ben himself, I've lost all stimulation for anything and everything in this world except for learning Torah. The only thing that stimulates me, it's not a delicious Danish and not ice cream, not even pizza. not even the sight of my beautiful wife. None of that stimulates me. The only cheshik that I have in the world is Torah. So therefore, it's impossible for me to be Mazriya Zera, and I can't have children. Therefore, I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to rely on the children, the child-producing powers of others, because I myself can't, because my whole cheshik, my whole stimulation, only Torah, Torah, Torah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Well, we have to see you all tomorrow. Zayuzin, Zayuvesh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barry, how have you been? You're awfully...